listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back. The third hour of American Journal is on this Friday morning, coming to you live from the InfoWars headquarters. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. InfoWarsStore.com is where you support everything that we do here on the forefront, at the tip of the spear of the revolution for human liberty. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls this hour, and we'll start appropriately with a Twitter post by one of our regular callers, Hobbs, from Roads to Liberty at R2L Pod on Twitter. Real Roads to Liberty podcast said, listening to Lisa Logan on American Journal with Harrison Smith, and a lot of what seems weird in isolation starts to make much more sense when you realize it's all connected and self-reinforcing. I think that is exactly right. What seems weird in isolation, it sure is weird they're telling kids to be trans. Gee, isn't it weird that the World Economic Forum is telling us we're all useless eaters that'll have to be put on drugs and play video games until we die? Isn't that weird? Isn't it weird that these seemingly benign, you know, counselor programs and social emotional learning programs end up turning kids into mentally ill communists? Isn't that so weird? And you realize and that's what I was trying to express to Lisa. I'm sure people listening to this program understand it, but it's like there's this hum, there's this just underlying tone that reverberates in all of this stuff, in Orthodoxy and the Religion of the Future by Father Seraphim Rose in the 70s, from Brave New World in 1920, when you listen to a World Economic Forum talk about the transformation of humankind into the fourth industrial revolution, it's like there's, you can't quite put your finger on it, but there's something there. There's a barely audible tone that you can't help but go, I've heard this before. I recognize this from somewhere. Look at Jim Jones, and you start with Jim Jones, and that leads into the MK Ultra mind control programs, into the helter skelter, and the attempt to start a race war, and I mean it's all meshed together. And the thing you need to realize, and this is just a matter of humility on a human level, is that better, wiser, more intelligent, more thoughtful people than us have thought about this stuff for hundreds of years, and they figured it out already. They figured it out. It's the theologians, the philosophers. 1,000 years ago, they figured out what it takes to be a healthy human, what spiritual path leads to virtue and which leads to destruction. We don't need some new age hippie cult member to come up with a new form of spirituality for humanity. We need to get back to what we know incontrovertibly to be the truth, that you need basic things, that mental, physical, spiritual health are all deeply intertwined, and they don't require indoctrination. It doesn't require a massive, highly interconnected network of counselors, pushing you to be both simultaneously obsessed with yourself and narcissistic to a disturbing degree, while couching your narcissism in some sort of universal oneness and vague, ill-defined spirituality that all is one, but also I'm the most important person in the universe. It's all madness. What you need is family, good food, sunshine, fresh air. You need to interact with animals and babies. You need to hear music. And then you're fine. And then it turns out you're totally fine. And the videos from the thread of hers, I watched them all, and they're like, I want to play them all, but I would never have time because I'd want to expand on everyone for 20 minutes. They talk about, like, we figured out that depression is an imbalance of brain chemistry. It's like, no, you didn't. They have no idea why SSRIs work. They have no idea about chemical imbalances in the brain. It's all nonsense. And a walk through the park for 10 minutes cures your depression better than Prozac. So put that on a chart.
Your grandma died all alone in the hospital. Your wife was fired over a mandate. Your teenage son has heart problems. You lost your business. They kicked you off of social media. Your two-year-old was forced to wear a mask. And now they want you to forget about the whole thing. Oh, hell no. We will never forget.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
You came down to this southern town last summer to show the folks a brand new way of life.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. But all our phone number now, taking your calls throughout this hour. The number to dial is 1-877-789-2539. 1-877-789-2539. Give us a call now. Operators standing by. Oh, man. It's all just completely insane. Let's talk about this for a minute, shall we, while we wait for the phone lines to fill up. And you know, I never want to say the same thing over and over again. I know I do. We get new listeners every day, and people obviously don't listen to the whole show every day. So I'm sorry if you have to hear this stuff over and over. But did you know Israel is insane? Did you know they're insane? Like, the thing is, I don't have too much more to say about this situation. The headline is Israel official says Iran war inevitable and U.S. should strike now. Now, I just tend to think about these things in personal terms. Like, when I read this headline, what I picture is some guy named Israel and some guy named Iran. And they're about to get in a fight. And it's kind of like fights I've seen in the past, right? I remember a fight between basketball players one time where the team that won was just being, they're just being jerks and just like flaunting, just mocking. And the dude on the other team was just like, if you keep talking, I'm going to hit you in the face. And the kid keeps talking and he got hit in the face. And it's like, well, what'd you expect, dude? He literally told you exactly what he was going to do. And then you kept pestering him. You kept being annoying at him. You kept laughing in his face. And then he said, I'm going to hit you. And then he hit you. It's like, so this is kind of that situation where you've got Israel assassinating people in Tehran, blowing up embassies in Damascus. They're bombing apartment buildings in South Lebanon. They're, of course, carrying out a genocide in Gaza. And then this guy, Israel, turns to us, turns to the guy that's American, is like, Iran is going to attack me. And so you're like, yeah, it's probably, dude. That's astute observation. Yeah, they're probably going to attack you. The guy's like, yeah, so it's pretty much inevitable at this point. Go get him. It's like, no, you guys are fighting. I'm over here. I'm actually hanging out, not involved in your desert blood feud. So why would I attack? Like, what are you talking? This just makes no sense, right? On a personal level, it makes no sense. On a geopolitical level, it makes no sense. These guys are going to attack me. War is inevitable, so you need to go attack them first. Nah. I don't think we should. But it made me realize that this is probably a missing component as we look at geopolitical reality. There's a missing element of the equation, which is that we kind of have to attack first if Israel is to survive. Like, the idea that I've been running with is that Israel is sort of purposefully antagonizing its neighbors. They want to get in a situation where it's like, gee, if America doesn't step in, Israel's going to, they're all going to die. So, like, we have to step in. But knowing the strength of their opponents,
and Hezbollah and Iran, knowing their inability to deal with significantly less powerful groups like Hamas, I don't know if they could survive a first attack. I think once it pops off, if Iran does it in a real way and Hezbollah does it in a real way, I don't, you know, at that point it might be like, oh, there's no point for America getting involved because it's over. If they really decide to do that, of course, America will get involved anyway, but it just makes you realize like, okay, no, they need to set it up to where America attacks first. We need to be the ones to start this conflagration. And so instead of having the impetus, the initiation of a wider war be some major full-scale attack against Israel that America has to avenge and or defend against, it probably will be a singular false flag attack. It probably will be a sinking of an American vessel, a bombing of an American base that kills 1,000 people, or, you know, more, you know, to have a bigger emotional impact, it'll be another October 7th style attack. It'll be a bunch of civilians in Israel getting killed, or a bunch of like Americans in Israel getting bombed or something. Just as you think about how this progresses and you put yourself in the mindset of one of these people driving us towards war, that's the calculus that they must be operating in. The anxiety has gotten to the point where they believe Iran and its allies are winning the psychological warfare, and that Iran's rhetoric has created a very heavy atmosphere in Israel. So obviously, we have to go to war with them. I mean, you've got a country, Iran, causing a very heavy atmosphere in Israel. So obviously, we need to bomb Iran. Obviously, this is casus belli. This is a cause for war, creating a heavy atmosphere in Israel. How dare they? It's not just Israel, however. She said the specter of a major Iranian strike appears to be haunting much of the region, including Arab states that Hassan Nahum asserted are increasingly on board with the plan to take down the Islamic Republic, even if Israel's ally, the U.S., was not. I don't think America has understood the ultimate goal here has to be regime change in Iran, Hassan Nahum said.
What?
Oh, yeah, we don't realize. Yeah, nobody here realizes that regime change is the ultimate goal of the Israeli/American deep state. That's a total surprise to all of us. I mean, come on. Are you serious? So, yeah, they're pushing for America to strike first because of, you know, the very heavy atmosphere in Israel. It's just unsustainable. Totally ridiculous. For Biden, however, Hassan Nahum argued that such a decision, you know, a major attack against Iran, would put the outgoing U.S. leader on the level of former UK Prime Minister Winston Churchill, who declared war on Nazi Germany after its invasion of Poland 85 years ago. If Biden wanted to be Churchill and leave a legacy, I know it's crazy, but that's what he would do, but I doubt he'll do it. Possibly more true than he knows. Yes, the world leader with an opportunity to avoid a cataclysmic world war instead plunges humanity into the abyss. He would be like Churchill. Let's go to Rad in Death Valley, who's on the air about Kamala Harris. And
Good morning, Harrison. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I know the point you're going to make, and I completely agree. Go ahead.
Okay. I did want to talk about, because I heard you mention it this morning, Kamala Harris has this new policy, supposed to be new policy, of granting $25,000 to first home buyers. So I wanted to bring this to people's attention because the way it's worded is a little shady, which, you know, it's coming from Kamala Harris. Of course it is. This is actually something that's based on Gavin Newsom's Dream for All program, which has been happening in California since 2023. Now, in the first round, they gave people up to 20% for buying a first home. They did it again this year, and he announced in June that they were going to do a second round of this program. Now, we live in Death Valley, and my husband's family have been here for three generations. They're miners. They also work on the test site. His mom was literally going around testing for unexploded ordnances. They've worked hard all their life, but it's the desert. It's the hottest place on earth. We'd like to not live in a ghost town of 30 people. So, of course, I looked into this program. But it actually turns out that the program this year is for first-generation buyers. Now, I've noticed that the same wording is used in Kamala's proposal, first-generation first-home buyers. So basically what that means is they will give you the grant to the house. Now, in California, they go up to $150,000. This isn't chump change. Wow. You can get quite a good chunk with that. But it's on the proviso that you are a first-generation homeowner, which means that we don't qualify because my husband's mother and father owned a house at some point. If your parents have owned a home at any time, you do not qualify for this program. So it's not really about first homeowners. And look, Harrison, 100%, I'll be straight up. I'm an immigrant. You can probably tell I still have a little bit of an Australian accent.
I married into
a family. Yeah, they've been here for generations. But if it were me by myself trying to qualify for this, yeah, no problem. But I'm married to an American whose family have been here for generations. And you go back far enough, everybody owned their own home once upon a time in America. You don't qualify. So it became immediately apparent to me that this program is about giving benefits to immigrants who don't have ancestral ties in the U.S. And I think that's terrible. It's a program for immigrants.
Yeah, that is an extremely important point. In fact, that's the first time seeing about it, because I'd seen other people on X and stuff say, this is going to benefit illegal immigrants. But I haven't seen anybody point out that phrase, first generation home buyers. California to assist down payments with up to 1,700 first generation. So that literally means that if your parents owned a home, you don't qualify for this. That is huge. I feel like we need to tell the InfoWars writers about this. We need an article explaining this, because I haven't seen anybody else bring up that point yet. First generation.
You always got to read that small print. It's always always hidden in there somewhere. That's how they roll. They make it sound very appealing. Oh, first home buyers. And everybody gets excited, like my husband got excited. And then you find out the condition.
That is wild. So, yeah, right. Because you picture like, first time home buyer. You picture like some little family buying a starter home. Wow, that'll really help them out. $25,000. That's not who they're talking about.
It's not. I mean, that would have really helped us. You can't sell a home. Nobody wants to live in Death Valley. These are ghost towns. Every town out here has a maximum of 30 people. We have maybe 20 people in the summer. We would love to move somewhere. You know, you've got jobs.
Yeah.
Would be really helpful. My husband has to commute all the way to Las Vegas every day to work. It's rough. It's 130 degrees in the summer. It's rough.
You know,
we'd like to get out, but no, it's not for people like us, because at some point his parents bought a house that is no longer, we probably would get 10 grand for it if we tried to sell it, because nobody wants it.
That is so crazy. And of course, you know, to actually help out home buyers, the thing that the government should be doing is like, you know, putting a massive tax on institutions buying houses. Like if you're a corporation that's buying a house to rent it out, maybe pay 50% on top of whatever the, you know, house price is in taxes, something like that. Like disincentivize these massive corporations from buying up all these houses so they're available for the average person to buy. I mean,
yeah, that's the right now is institutional buying of property. And I mean, that's not just a U.S. problem. I mean, I have a daughter who relocated back to Australia to do university, and I can't blame her because it's a lot cheaper there. But trying to find a house in Australia is the same thing. We never saw this in Australia up until the last few years, but there are families living in tents all over Australia right now because of institutional buying, and mostly Chinese corporations. China owns basically all of Australia right now, but you can't find anywhere to live. And I think that it's Yeah, like you said, there has to be something done. I mean, I would prefer that they just got rid of institutional home ownership, you know, especially for, you know, like single family homes, maybe for condos and that kind of thing, sure. But, you know, for single family unit homes, no, it should be for homeowners, for buyers, you know.
You would think, but hey, you're going to own nothing and then you're going to be happy. And that's the ultimate plan. And they're
that's
not shy
right.
about it.
Well, brother.
Thank you so much for that. That was a very informative call. And I'm very glad you brought that to our attention. And even just as you were talking, I just searched, you know, first generation home buyer. The first thing that pops up is a document from Fannie Mae published in May of this year. First generation home buyer fact sheet. And of course, I only get one sentence in before I realize I have to read this on air. Generational wealth refers to the financial assets passed from one generation of a family to another. Wealth disparities amongst historically underserved consumers are often linked to the absence of or interruption of generational wealth. Accumulating that is primarily achieved through home ownership. So it sort of makes perfect sense, right? In their perverted, distorted, deranged sort of way. They're very concerned about generational wealth, not because they want to increase generational wealth, but because they see it as an unfair advantage that has to be eliminated. That's why they have things like the death tax, and they want basically just to confiscate all of your money and all of everything you own the moment that you die to redistribute to other people, to deprive your lineage, your family, your children from actually building on the wealth that you've built. They want everybody starting off at zero. It is the most extreme form of communism. And so that makes perfect sense. The concept of first-generation home buyer, the borrower and their parents do not and have not owned a property, is not new. There are many programs in the market to offer down payment or other assistance to eligible participants with varying definitions of what constitutes a first-generation home buyer. Yeah, we got it. We got to let the writers know about this. This needs to be an InfoWars article. It's just typical, right, for the Democrats to suggest a program that, like, for a second you're like, oh, helping first time homeowners. Well, hey, a real issue with an actual, you know, solution for it. What a novel idea. Hey, we're not inventing non-existent issues to solve through genital mutilation. It's like, what a strange thing for the Democrats to be involved in confronting a real issue with a viable solution. But then of course you should have known. We should have known. It's not for you. It's not for anybody who has, you know, any stake in this country. It's for immigrants, basically, entirely. Just incredible. Let's go to George in California now. George, thanks for calling in. California, follow up to our conversation with Lisa Logan. You're on the air, sir.
This is my brother, Harrison.
Good morning.
Hey, how's the audio coming, man?
Coming in great. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for taking my call, as always. And I never want to forget to say God bless you and the crew. I love you guys. I love the effort you put in, man. I feel like you guys are like my best friends that kind of moved away from town, and I'm getting a call in and catch up with you all every time I get a chance. But
I love it. Thank you.
Right off the bat, you got it, brother. God bless you, man. Right off the bat, Harrison, I want to say thank you, man. You brought in Austin Witsit, and I hadn't heard about him before, but between me, Austin Witsit, and another few gentlemen, Rob Skiba, unfortunately, who passed away a couple of years ago, there's another guy, Sean Griffin. I think his channel is Kingdom in Context on YouTube. Those guys, I kind of put myself in line as far as faith goes. And you brought Austin Witsit into my purview, which I thank you for that, because I hadn't heard of him, man. And much like Fresh and Fit kind of brought Andrew Wilson into my scope, because I hadn't heard of Andrew Wilson. Now I'm very appreciative of his content. I was able to get into a Twitter space yesterday with this awesome dude, Truth Teller, and Witsit, and I was actually able to speak. And they were speaking about the Jewish question or Jewish problem, which ties into what Lisa Logan was kind of speaking about, which there's nothing new under the sun, as we read in the Bible, right, my brother? Mm-hmm. And the family unit is a reflection of God's order. And I don't know where this term came around, the nuclear family. I personally don't agree with it. I can't remember if it was early this year or sometime late last year, you guys had a really funny, I forgot if he was Hispanic or if he was a Jewish comedian himself. This dude laid it out so good. He was a guest host when you weren't able to host one morning. And he straight up said, I'm like, this guy's talking straight out of my mind. He said, what is it with this nuclear family BS, man? Don't you guys remember back in the day when you would have a child, you had your brothers and sisters, your parents had their brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, grandparents. Right. You had an entire extended family unit. And we see this in the Bible as well.
Right.
Whenever there was a chance, like when Joseph was, he went to Egypt, he brought his family to him. It's one of the few times in the Bible it's actually quoted that Satan and sin was not there when Israel and his children were reunited. That extended family dynamic is, I think, the most important critical thing missing, because that's in the Armenian tradition, too. Speaking from my I always got to bring it up, man. I'm sorry.
I love it.
It's unfortunate. Yeah, it's unfortunate that that's under attack as well. But in our tradition, when a son to a family gets married, the girl comes into the guy's house, that house becomes the guy's inheritance from the parents, and then from him, the house becomes his inheritance to his children, and you build upon the property. And literally, in the Armenian last name tradition, there's a Y-A-N or I-A-N suffix. They end in those three letters. It means son of. So like going back to Game of Thrones or The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings, when they would introduce someone, they were like, son of Thrain, son of Thor, son mm-hmm. of, son of, always came up. And this is in the Armenian last name. So the son of would always go back to what your parents and your lineage was, and you became a tribe within your family. Your family just kept on growing within itself for protection reasons, for wealth transfer, for, hey, we're talking about the houses, man. For generational wealth transfer. And I thought it was awesome how Lisa spoke about it too, because you picked up on this too, brother. You said that undertone, my man. I've been feeling this undertone, and this came from Andrew Wilson too. He calls it the tone police when he's in these debates. And what I picked up when he's talking about these tone police, when people get offended about not so much what you said, it's how you said it. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, every time that pops up, it's almost like the enemy, feminism, Satanism, narcissism, this current psychological degradation killing people's minds and souls, plants the seed of I'm important. And when someone challenges that thought, that tone police that comes out, it's like it gets activated. This programming gets activated in them where it comes out like they immediately get offended without looking at the subject matter you're presenting to them. Yep. So just like you said, that tone that comes out, it is kind of a well-orchestrated attack from the enemy, but it's so thinly veiled and so built on a house of cards when all you got to do is call it out. And I'm going to end on the white note. sorry, not white note, but white pill. White pill, brother. As you say, it may always look bad. The more we're thankful, the more we're grateful for everything we have, the quicker all that black pill, all that stuff washes away. We realize, actually, if we're under attack, that means we're worth a lot more than we even can perceive. So there you go, brother. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak.
No, thank you, George. No, that was a great call, man. I got stuff to add. I'll do it on the other side. Fantastic stuff. More calls on the other side. Stay with us. It's the American Journal, Infowars.com/show. Share that link. We'll be right back.
Nitric Boost. Turmeric 95. High quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWarsMD at InfoWarsStore.com.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored. That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
How's it going, Harrison? Thank you for taking my call. You guys have the best crew. You guys are awesome. Just wanted to plug real quick. Just recently found out after 14 years, I got a quarter or half of my muscle torn off from my shoulder blade, right? So I've been in constant pain for years, and the turmeric, the nitric boost, the fish oil, everything. If I don't take it, dude, I'm totally feeling it, and I'm on the floor. This is one of the only things is your products that gets me going. If it's helping me, and I've been in pain for 14 years, you guys got to try some of it.
Wow. Yeah. It's true, folks. You hear people call in like this all the time. These products are life-changing if you take them as directed, especially combined with exercise and a good diet. Things like Bodies, the turmeric supplement, Turmeric 95 from InfoWars MD. Incredibly powerful, life-changing stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. Thanks for the call, Drew.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal, InfoWars.com. InfoWarsStore.com is where you go to support us. It's a fantastic selection of supplements, products, t-shirts, hats, movies. There's lots of great stuff at InfoWarsStore.com. You're getting 25% off Bodies, 40% off vitamin C plus zinc with the rose hips. Very powerful supplement. 40% off Nitric Boost, which I didn't think I needed, but I happen to have a bottle lying around, and it's powerful stuff, man. It's very powerful. It's one of those supplements that you don't have to wonder if it's working or not. It's extremely powerful. A lot of energy it gives me. Not making medical claims, but I do use the supplements. We all here at InfoWars use the supplements. We believe in them just like we believe in what we say. And we had a great caller, George, from California in the last segment, making a good point about the deception of the nuclear family. And I think this is one of the things that, like, I don't know, I've sort of been through this process where it's like the individual is the most important building block. And then you're like, well,
actually, it's kind of, that's kind of a trick, you know, that's kind of a deception. You're like, yeah, individual, like Christianity and the society that we live in is built on the individual in a real way. In other words, you can't be punished for what somebody else did, even if you're in the same family or, you know, share the same characteristics. You know, you're responsible for your actions. They're responsible for theirs. And that's fundamental to the way our process works. But you have to recognize that actually the family is the building block. So you think, okay, that's true. The family is the building block. And you break society down, you know, that's sort of as small as you really want to go, because it's necessary. And to build the society that we have to have strong families. And you realize that you're right, it's not about the nuclear family. It should be about the extended family. And I live next door to my sister and her family. So my kids have four cousins next door. My parents are in town all the time. I don't know if I could stop living like this. I think I'm stuck in this house forever because I can't imagine not living next door to extended family. Like once you, if you really live with your extended family and have multiple generations constantly together, constantly interacting, constantly eating dinner together and doing chores together and all that, it's so natural. It's so obviously the superior way to live. You never want to go back. And so, like when you talk about InfoWars, people think of conspiracy theories. They think of false flag reports and all that's very true. But at the end of the day, what InfoWars is pushing, what we believe is the obvious. What we're pushing is self-evident and observable to everybody with eyes. We're pushing family. We're pushing joy. We're pushing humanity. We're pushing freedom and liberty and America and 1776 and George Washington. Like, it's all very normal. It's all very self-evidently good. And to promote this ideology, to progress this lifestyle and this, you know, spiritual framework, we have to confront some pretty disturbing things, and we have to expose nefarious networks and uncover the real purpose behind seemingly benign policy. But at the end of the day, it's all dedicated and directed purely towards these very human, very good things that are being stolen from us. And how can you not want to stand up against a global movement that despises literally everything good in the world? Literally. Marriage and family and children and sunshine, farm animals. Like, they actually literally hate all of it and are actively destroying all of it. How can you not stand up against them? If you want to stand up against them, help us out. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Give us the ammo we need, as we have proven ourselves as one of, if not the most effective promoter of this eminently joyful idea that humans are humans. We need certain spiritual and physical things, and then everybody else just needs to get the hell out of the way and leave us alone. With that, we got to your calls. Nathaniel in Alabama wants to talk about some pipelines. Go ahead, Nathaniel. You're on the air. I think I know what you're calling in about.
What's up, Harrison? So yesterday you were talking about the Nord Stream pipeline, mm-hmm. and I wanted to call in. So I was at a boys' camp as a counselor not too long ago, and one of my co-counselors was a Navy EOD guy. And I'm an ex-Marine. So,
sorry, what's EOD?
Explosive Ordnance Disposal.
Okay, got it.
So,
thank
like
you.
Special Forces, and they do like bomb detonation and stuff.
Got it.
And so I was ex-Marines. So, you know, naturally we got to talking and stuff and talking about just conspiracies and whatnot. And I suddenly asked him, I was like, so you know any guys about that blew up the Nord Stream pipeline? And this dude was like, he was from New England, like ex-Special Forces, so he was like super boisterous and stuff. He instantly shut up and changed the topic like immediately.
Really?
It was kind of awkward for a second, but...
He didn't think that was funny, huh?
Pretty... No, he did not think that was funny.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Telling, but, you know.
Because he knows. Because he knows what it takes to plant a bomb on a pipeline under the ocean, and he knows you can't do it with a couple amateur scuba divers and a rented yacht. I think that might be. Was this how long ago is this? Like, was this yesterday? Was this after like the story came out in the Wall Street Journal that this was?
No. This was a few months ago.
Okay.
I wish it was yesterday though. I'd ask him about his take on that that epic dialogue that they put out.
Yeah, so
I mean, it was pretty awesome listening to you read it.
Yeah, it was thrilling. Really, really Hollywood level stuff they're coming out with. Very interesting.
Oh no.
Yeah, it'd be fun to talk to that guy again. Man, so many people know so much that they don't talk about. It really is mind blowing when you talk about, like, you know, how many people would have to be in on it. Do you know how many people are in on it already? Do you have any idea how many, you know, like when you look at like Vietnam and like drug running and bombing in Laos and like these missions they would run. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of people for every mission, and there's thousands of missions. There are tens of thousands of people alive right now that like worked for the deep state and did illegal stuff in Vietnam, and they know perfectly well that what they're involved in was a giant conspiracy, and they don't say anything. It is possible. It is actually possible to pull this stuff off. William in Arkansas, you are on the air. We got a minute and a half left in the segment. The floor is yours.
Okay. Let's see. The Harris thing, you know, what's going on, and the way that Biden wants to attract the vote of the illegals. See if I can do this correctly. Hey, Vato Amigo, you don't vote for me, man. You didn't get the free ATM card. Hey, man, can I get a witness? Honey, child.
I didn't know you do voices, William. William, you sing, you do poetry, you know your constitution, and you do
a damn good
South Central LA Latino accent.
I want to comment a little bit on this pipeline, and if you remember at Wirt Road in Antoine, the old Cameron Steel Ironworks was there. I listened to Nixon years ago talk how stupid Reagan was when we were going through a steel crisis and we were buying our steel from overseas and shutting everything down here. Cameron Steel shut down, and Russia wanted to buy $7 billion worth of pipeline stuff. And Reagan said no, so they went to Bechtel, which is a German company, which was a George Stultz, Secretary of State, high investment. Now, that's a German company that sold Russia what they needed for a pipeline, and now they're still at war, just like the Second World War.
They've been selling this out for decades.
Unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that turmeric does incredible things for inflammation, your joints, your immune system, your whole body. Well, we came out with Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula 6 years ago. And I was wanting to come out with a turmeric formula, so I talked to some of the big suppliers. I said, what's the strongest curcuminoid you have? And they said, it's like 75%. Regular turmeric's just raw, 4 or 5% still has a great effect. I said, well, what's the strongest concentrate you can make? They came back a few months later and they said, 95%. This is it. Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, been sold out for months. Back in stock is 95% curcuminoid, and it does incredible things for your body. And my wife's a big sports person. She's in great shape, plays tennis, lifts weights all day, but she has joint pain. And years ago, she was taking these horse pills of turmeric. She'd take 3 or 4, would give her relief. I said, try this. She looked at the back. She said, this is lower milligrams. And I said, yeah, but that's because it's concentrate. She took it. She said one pill had the effect of the big 4 horse pills she was taking. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing product. It's back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. And it's not just the 95% curcuminoid. It's organic spearmint, sage, lemon balm, and thyme leaves, pepperine from black pepper. So it's an amazing formula. It's exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. And it could be our last run. They're trying to shut us down. And please don't take that for granted. We get shut down, people go, whoa, he wasn't BSing. On my children, I'm not BSing. We're close to being shut down. We need support right now. Plus, these are great products. Please go to InfoWarsStore.com. This is going to sell out. Please support the broadcast. Get in other products. Get t-shirts, books, films. We need support now. These are great products. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your action. InfoWarsStore.com. Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver, right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that, right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right, so this is why
they've
central
got so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's not there's too much fiat to even buy the silver, which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver historically the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all time highs. Silver does better than gold, so silver grows faster, and there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
All right, folks, welcome back. Your phone calls once again to close out this week of broadcasting at InfoWars.com, InfoWarsStore.com. Support us there. Get yourself some Nitric Boost at 40% off. Just see what happens. I'll tell you what happens. You place a second order for Nitric Boost because our products are amazing. Who do we go to next? John in Arizona has been on the longest. Go ahead, John. You're on the air on the topic of religion versus ideology. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. So I think a very fundamental difference between Democrats and Republicans is what I call external versus internal locus of control. So what the Democrats are doing is they're relying on their environment to get all their meaning and everything. And it reflects everywhere, like, in school shootings, they want them to hide instead of fight and stuff. I think that's like the biggest difference.
Mm.
I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, no, I think that's true, and I mean that ties into everything else that we talk about, testosterone. Like chemically, you're more inclined to go it alone, not rely on others, and it's a. In fact, I just saw a post about this. If this is it, I'll pull it up right here. Because the idea is that, here you go, look at this, I found it, just that quick. People who can't defend themselves physically, women and low-T men, parse information through a consensus filter as a safety mechanism. They literally do not ask, quote, is this true? They ask, will others be okay with me thinking this is true? This makes them very malleable to brute force manufactured consensus. If every screen they look at says the same thing, they will adopt that position because their brain interprets it as everyone in the tribe believing it. Only high T alpha males and A neurotypical people are actually free to parse new information with an objective, is this true, filter. This is why a republic of high status males is best for decision making, democratic, but a democracy only for those who are free to think. So yeah, it's literally a safety. It's like an evolutionary thing. It's a safety mechanism.
where in it might not manifest this way consciously, but there's an underlying survival instinct thing compelling you to go safety in number, safety in tribes. I will die if I am expelled from the tribe. Therefore, the most important thing for my survival is acceptance with the people around me. So it's like a survival thing. It's like an internal mechanism deep, deep in our lizard brain. Weak people need consensus. Strong people can think for themselves. Good point, John. I want to go to Jack in Louisiana now. This is a topic that's been going on for a while. I don't think I've commented on it yet on the show. But Jack, tell us what Nick Fuentes is up to.
Yeah, he's been, for a couple of weeks now, he's kind of been flip-flopping on the whole MAGA thing. I noticed when Trump got shot, totally wanted to jump in balls deep. I don't know if I can say that, sorry. But when Trump, you know, got shot, he was like, oh, MAGA, 100%. And now he's already back to his old ways of, like, telling people to straight up not vote for Trump. And I'm like, you know, Trump's the kind of guy who listens to the American people, and it's already showing that Trump likes to listen to the American people when you notice that he's changed his mind and he changed his campaign advisor recently. Because, you know, people were saying, hey, we don't like this guy. We want someone who's, you know, not pro-Israel. We want somebody America first, which I can agree with.
Yeah.
But I think it's just weird to be, like, so hard on Trump when he took his whole first term hiring and firing guys. You know, he's not afraid to do that.
I totally agree. And I'm a little bit torn about it because I don't know. I don't even know where to begin with it. Because in general, I like the idea of, like, not just accepting whatever's given us and not just, like, oh, just silently, you know, accept this really bad person running Trump's campaign. Like, we should speak up. We should speak out about it. I'm not into the, like, actually, you know, advocating for Kamala. I think that's ridiculous. And I just don't know if – I don't know, though. I don't know. Because I want to say, like, the time isn't right. Like, it's just, like, we need to win this. That's got to be the focus. The focus has got to be bringing in more Trump supporters, bringing in more new voters for Trump. We have to win. It's not because it's going to solve everything, but because if we don't win, it's over. The way I keep talking about it is like if we're in war and there's some big weapons cache that we have to defend or we have to win in a battle. And if we win, then we're armed. And it doesn't mean we win the war, but then we have a chance. We have a beachhead. We have, you know, somewhere to progress from. But if we lose, then we're disarmed. And they have all the weapons, and it's over completely. So we have to win this battle. We have to win this election for the war to even exist from here on out. So I'm not in favor of, like, you know, campaigning against Trump or, you know, making these claims of people. I like the idea of pressuring Trump, and if withholding your vote is the only way that you can pressure somebody, I guess that's the democratic process. Here's what Nick Fuentes posted today. He said the Groyper War, that's what they're calling it. And basically, if you don't know, Nick Fuentes is leading an online campaign to pressure Trump to fire two of his advisors and campaign managers, Civitas, I think his name is, Civitas and Willis, I think are the two names. And they're not good. And they're the ones pushing Trump, you know, basically to ignore white people and try to get the minority vote, which is, like, fine, but it's not a particularly winning strategy. They've gotten him to soften his position on a bunch of stuff. I don't like these people either. I'm fine with getting him out. So the Groyper War, the first Groyper War was asking Charlie questions about Israel and embarrassing him on stage. The second Groyper War is a pressure campaign to get Trump to fire these people and hire better people, basically. So that's a Groyper War, in case you don't know. So what Nick Fuentes says is, the Groyper War is based on the radical notion that young men have the power to exert pressure on presidential candidates just like Silicon Valley, Wall Street, or the Israel lobby. The forgotten Americans can't donate $100 million, but we can withhold tens of thousands of votes in Michigan. So again, I get the strategy, the underlying idea of, like, the American people deserve representation, and even if we can't provide $100 million— we still deserve to be heard by our reps. Like, I'm totally in favor of that. But there's something in me that's like, look, this is war and you're leading a mutiny. And that's just not a good thing, not a positive thing. And there's a way to have set this up to where any outcome can be taken advantage of by the Groypers. Like if he fires these people, then they can take credit for that. If he doesn't fire them and he loses, then they can say this is why. Whether it even has an effect or not, I don't know. But, you know, clearly, you know, J.D. Vance brings up Fuentes in an interview of his. Like, Fuentes's strategy is sound and is and can be effective. And if this, you know, means that the Trump campaign changes its ways and gets better, then I guess that's a good thing. I personally don't think fighting in the trenches right now is the most positive thing. And really, I would push it as Trump's, especially when it comes to Israel, Trump's devotion to Israel, the way he talks about going to war with Iran, not only is that a major turnoff to people like myself, who, like, the whole reason I got into Trump in the first place was because I was anti-war, and now he's sitting here going, we're going to attack Iran if I get into office. It's like, all right, why? Why would you abandon one of the core compelling messages of your campaign, that you're the peace president? That doesn't make any sense. But also, do you have any idea how mad Democrats are at their own leadership right now, and Kamala and Biden and all of their allegiance to Israel and you know, willingness to allow the attacks on Gaza to continue? This is a major vulnerability, and it just seems politically obvious to me that Trump should be wooing that portion of the electorate and going, hey, you want peace in the Middle East? I'm your guy. You want a president that can stand up to every country, including Israel? I'm your guy. I'll put America first, and you're American. I'll put you first. I think this is a major opportunity that Trump is missing, and that's extremely disappointing. And I'm not going to counter signal Nick Fuentes. And I think, again, if what he does is effective and is able to change Trump's mind on things, I think that's great. I don't think the division is necessarily good, and I think the rhetoric is disillusioning some people entirely, where they're just like, yeah, I'm just not voting for Trump. It's all hopeless. He's just as bad as everybody else. And it's like, okay, but this is a battle we have to win. So that's got to be at the forefront. And even in framing it, I wish Nick would frame it a little bit more. And maybe is, I don't know. I haven't watched his show very much, so maybe I shouldn't talk without actually listening to him express it. But if it was framed as like, this is for Trump's own good, this is tough love because we want Trump to win, then I'm not against that. I'm all for that. And if the changes are positive, then count me in. That's going to do it for us, folks. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. We'll be back here on Monday morning. See you then. Stay tuned for Alex Jones. Begins in 90 seconds.
We got a big announcement at InfoWarsStore.com. All InfoWars MD supplements, a premium supplement line, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Discover the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to diverse needs. We've got something for everyone at the InfoWars MD line. Ageless Vitality Collagen. Just look into all the benefits of collagen, folks. If you're not getting any collagen in your system, this is a great way to do so. Ageless Vitality Collagen. Superfood greens. Are you getting the fiber? Are you getting the greens in your life? If you're not eating your vegetables, this is a great way to supplement that. Superfood greens. Mushroom Max. All the great benefits of mushrooms. You might not like eating them. I'm not a big fan of them myself, but you can get it in a capsule. You don't have to worry about the nasty taste or texture and get all the benefits. Mushroom Max, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, Turmeric 95. Man, the benefits of turmeric are just incredible. When I'm not taking turmeric, I genuinely can notice the difference. It's one of those types of supplements where you notice when you're not taking it. And for me, it's kind of the soreness and maybe some inflammation after a workout, or if I play basketball for a couple hours the next day.
I noticed the difference. I noticed the difference. And it's kind of sad. It reminds you, you're not going to be young forever. But that's why turmeric is so important. Turmeric 95, 25% off. The prebiotic formula, the prostate support, very important for men. Nerve Renew, Joint Max Relief. That's both of those things are key. And then good night's sleep. You know, if you're having trouble sleeping, a supplement always great for that. Good night's sleep. All of these, the InfoWars MD premium supplement line, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. We appreciate your support there. That's what makes everything we do here possible.